Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'll be your host today, Dr. Zach Clinton, and today I'm honored to be sitting down with one of the most recognizable voices of faith in our culture. His name, Tim Tebow. Known to many as a Heisman Trophy winner, national champion, and Hall of Fame athlete, Tim's greatest passion has always extended far beyond sports. Through the Tim Tebow Foundation, he's dedicated his life to bringing faith, hope, and love to some of the most vulnerable people around the world. The Clinton family has been blessed to know Tim and his wife Demi Lee and to spend time with them at several of our Extraordinary Women and Ignite Men's Impact Weekend events. They recently, though, welcomed their first daughter, Daphne Rain, into the world. So life probably looks a little bit different for the Tebows these days. But in the midst of all of this, Tim recently released the New York Times bestseller, Look Again, which focuses on recognizing and valuing the God-given worth in every person. He also has a brand new book, If the Tree Could Speak, a beautifully illustrated retelling of Jesus' crucifixion told from the perspective of the cross. Here to share about his writing process, becoming a new father, and how God continues to direct his family is Tim Tebow. Tim, my friend, it's great to see you. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for having me. How are we doing, man?
Doing well, brother. It's great to finally see you. I said, this has been a long time in the making. I know I've really been looking forward to this ever since it popped up on my calendar. And I'll say this, Tim, as an athlete, a former athlete, you were somebody that inspired me on the field. But something that I've told you in private that I just want to make sure I say in public is you're someone that inspires me and positively impacts me off the field, specifically in the way that you live your life. You live your life with mission. You live your life with urgency. We'll talk a lot about that today. But something, I know you wear a lot of different hats. You have a lot of roles, a lot of responsibilities. You're speaking all over the place. You're writing a book every year, I'm saying. And it's amazing what God is doing in and through you. But my wife, Evelyn, and my mom, Miss Julie, are begging me to ask the question up front, Tim. How are Demi Lee and how is Daphne Rain? What's life look like in the Tebow household these days?
Oh, it's surreal. It's so awesome. Not a lot of sleep, but a lot of joy. I can tell you that. It is it's such a joy. But I tell you, they don't really give you like a 7-step manual for this thing. Like, I know when we got home from the hospital, I put Daphne in her bassinet and I was like, all right, Demi, what do we do next? Like, what's the next part of the game plan? And we've just been figuring it out along the way. And what an incredible blessing and responsibility and just honor to be able to just say that I'm Daphne's dad.
Man, it's amazing to hear. You know, Evelyn and I are starting to have those conversations about potentially starting a family and praying our way through that. And so to hear that, right, there's no manual. That's what I've always heard. Sometimes you just get thrown into the fire. But what a blessing, what a privilege it is. I'd love to hear too, Tim, up front. I know you're a man who lives life on mission. You're traveling quite a bit. And I know when you have a daughter and now you have a princess on board, the question is, has that shifted away that sense of urgency to not maybe just do more, but to do what matters most? How has that maybe changed for you?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think it should change necessarily the urgency in which we live, but I do think that it can help with the perspective of navigating to the most important thing. Like, I always will tell our team to win the day, we have to think about what's important now, and we have to run after that thing. And but then you can't let the urgent get in the way of the important, right? So never give up what you want most for what you want now, right? And then there's a tension and a balance between all of those things. And so I think it's you know, with what we have been called to do here at the foundation and fighting for the world's MVPs, the most vulnerable people, you know, there is a tension between trying to be home as many nights as I can and trying to get to one more boy or girl. And there's a real tension between that calling and responsibility. And I just really pray for wisdom and discernment and courage in all of those areas to know how best to navigate it. But I ultimately believe that it's a whole lot better to show up to heaven exhausted than it is well rested.
Exactly. Come on, Tim. Let me tell you this. Something that I really appreciate about you and I value is the work that you do around the MVPs, the most vulnerable people, and what you guys are doing through the Tim Tebow Foundation. It's inspiring. It's incredibly impactful work. And I want to ask you this. You know, I've heard you share some stories about your dad. And just watching the way that he saw people differently, this supernatural vision that God entrusted to him and how that was passed down to you and your siblings. And I'd love to hear, you know, I read Look Again, and early on in that book, you mentioned how you saw a bumper sticker that read Royalty on Board. And it just really shifted your mindset in the way that you see people differently. Tim, help me understand, where does that come from and where is this supernatural perspective all about?
Well, I think just my dad is one of my biggest heroes and role models. So taught me, which I still fail at over and over again to this day, but the value and the worth of all of humanity, that if we really look at them through the lens of the cross, then we will see people with infinite value and worth. Why? Because in our society, how do we know how much something costs? By what someone is willing to pay for it. And Jesus, who has infinite value and worth, was willing to give his life on the cross so that we could have life and life abundantly. Therefore, every single person that we will ever see has infinite value and worth. Imagine if we saw people that way. Imagine if I more often saw people that way. What would you do if you really saw people with infinite value and worth? You would treat them with infinite value and worth. You wouldn't be able to walk by them. You wouldn't be able to walk around them. You would stop and you would meet their needs. You would be in awe. You would be excited to see them. You'd be excited to be around these people. And to follow up on that, the story that you're touching on at Night to Shine, this is maybe 5 years ago in Arizona. And we're at a Night to Shine and all of these fancy cars are driving by on the red carpet, and they're driving with all of the Night to Shine kings and queens in the back standing up like waving. And there's a red Corvette that drives by, and there's this girl in a red dress, and she's standing up and she's just beaming from ear to ear. She's so happy, beyond happy. I mean, one of the happiest people I've ever seen on planet Earth. And the car's driving by, and I'm just losing my voice yelling for her and all the people around me. And the car drives by, and as it drives by, it says on the back, it says, Royalty on Board. And I thought, man, that's it. Like, that is it. And I didn't even know that our team was working with all the churches to put out these stickers that have Royalty on Board. But I just thought, that is it. So it led me into this long kind of diving into the ancient Near East and in Genesis 1, 5, and 9 of being made in God's image. What does that really look like when we're made in the image and likeness of our Creator? What does that really mean? What does that really look like? And I've always heard so many times in church, well, it's, you know, being made in God's image is could be a rational thing, or a relational thing, or a functional thing. A rational thing, that he's given us a mind to be able to think and rationalize and be strategic, or he's made us relational for a relationship with God and relationship with other people, or he's made us functional to be able to work, to work and subdue the land, to cultivate it. And I think all three of those things are a piece of it. But I started to think and really weep and agonize, well, what about those that can't do that as much because they don't have the same gifts, or they have maybe different gifts or abilities? Are they made less in the image of God? And I believe absolutely not. So I started to dive into, what does it really mean? And in the ancient Near East, when you really look at this term, it's a term that was used over and over again for kings or for monarchs. An Assyrian king or an Egyptian pharaoh, over and over again, this was a term that was used for made in the image of Bel or made in the image of Ra, gods that they believed in. And so in the ancient Near East, when you would have heard that the God of the Bible created us in his image, in the image of God he created us, male and female he created us, what I believe they would have thought is it's a royal worth title, that God loves me so much that this term that is only used for kings or monarchs is now a term that is used for all of humanity, because that's how much the God of the Bible loves all of us. This isn't just a religion for the kings or for monarchs. It's a relationship we get to have with the God of this universe for all people. And I think it goes back to even what the angel said, it's a good news of great joy that should be for all the people. And I think that's God's heart. And that was what really struck me that day, is this is royalty on board. And then diving into God's word, I really believe that it echoes that.
It does indeed. Psalm 119, 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Right? Help me to see differently, God. Open the eyes of my heart. You know, Tim, I remember interviewing Mark Batterson years ago, and he shared this one thing, that you can assess the spiritual maturity of a man or a woman by whether or not they can see the miraculous in the midst of the monotonous. And I think the problem with us as a society is we're so judgmental, first and foremost. I remember in the mental health space, Dr. Bruce Perry and Oprah Winfrey, they had a conversation, wrote a book years ago about this idea that we're so quick to point our fingers and think, what's the matter with that person? Or what's wrong with that person? But really, we need to be asking the question, like, what happened to that person? We make so many assumptions and we ask too few of questions. But then at the same time, we're also distracted, Tim. We live in a preoccupied world and society. Phones are everywhere. They're grabbing our attention, these vices and more. And I'm just thinking that this idea of looking again is almost like a spiritual discipline, to be able to say that I want to see people through the lens and through the eyes of Christ. And I would dare to ask the question to you, Tim, for those out there who maybe have struggled, they've been distracted, they've missed the point of this life, they missed the point of loving people well, where do they begin to begin seeing people again, to be able to look again at whoever it is that God has entrusted to their path?
I would maybe start by saying at themselves. Like, first of all, we have to stop and we have to be able to actually recognize our own worth and value, that God actually loves us enough. And when it starts with ourselves, because we know all of the bad days for us, we know all of the bad thoughts, we know all of the bad words, we know all of the bad actions, right? And so many times we continue to label ourselves by our scars, and we continue to label ourselves with that identity of our worst day, and we forget that Christ has already changed our identity. We're no longer defined by our scars, we're defined by his. But we continue to put that on and label ourselves. So one encouragement would be to really challenge how you view yourself. Do you really view yourself as loved by the Creator? Do you really view yourself as one of one, created in love, by love, and for love? Not because you have earned it or deserve it, but because that's how much God loves you. That you started there. And now when I go and I see other people, I say, man, if it counts for me, it counts for her, it counts for him. Right? And now try to go and show that love and try to see with a different lens. One of the stories that I shared in Look Again was I had a friend send it to me from YouTube, and I watched it and I started to cry, and it was just so awesome. It was this gentleman that had a birthday, and he had been colorblind, and his family gave him colorblind glasses that he put on, and he started, and man, when he started to see colors, you could see a visceral reaction of seeing all of this, and he was just so excited and joy-filled. That's how we should be when we see people, because we are seeing people with infinite value and worth. Like, we are seeing people that are so loved by God, he went to the cross for them. Why would we be so frustrated or disappointed or aloof to see people? If we really tried to see through the lens of Genesis, through the lens of the cross, through the lens of the good news of great joy for all the people, then we see people, we would actually see people with an excitement, with a value, with a worth as more precious than any diamond that has ever been created.
It's amazing just to think about this idea that when we receive the love of God and that when we know that God truly loves us, it begins to change the way that we see everything and everyone else around us. And Tim, that's kind of where I want to segue now into your new book that's coming out February 24th. I had the opportunity of reading that just the other day, earlier this week. And man, it was impactful to see the greatest love story, but also the greatest rescue mission, not just ever told, but ever lived by the hero of the universe, Jesus himself, through the lens of something different. We've watched all the movies about through the lens, you know, of Passion of the Christ, and we've seen it through the lens of a Roman soldier, but never have we seen it through the lens of the cross. And I was reading your author's note about how you were on your living room floor listening to a sermon, and there was something that came across your spirit, Luke 19, verse 40, about how when, you know, the Pharisees are trying to shut the disciples up and asking Jesus, tell him to be quiet about who you are, tell him to stop speaking. And he says, well, even if they stop speaking, that even the stones will cry out in honor of my name. Tim, take us to that moment and why that reaction was so deep and profound for you.
Well, yeah, it was just one morning. I got up early because I'm not a really good sleeper and I couldn't keep sleeping. So I got up early and I go to our TV room and I'm doing some therapy, like roll out on my legs while I'm playing Madden and I'm listening to a sermon all at the same time, you know, because I'm kind of a multitasker, and I'm listening to our pastor here in Jacksonville, Joby Martin, and it really wasn't even on the sermon that was about. It was just something that he mentioned led me to a thought that led me to a thought that led me to a thought. And then all of a sudden, I'm just thinking about, as you said, Luke 19:40, and if we don't praise him, the rocks would cry out. And I just start to think and honestly start to weep. One, how many times did I not praise him, but all of creation was like, you're not doing your job, Timmy. And I just started to weep. And then I started to think, man, if the rocks are so quick to want to praise him, how much more so would the tree that Jesus was nailed to want to praise him? Finished this thought and I just jot a few notes down. And a couple of days later, I was on a flight to an event with Kevin and Wyatt, two of our team members that you've met before, Zach. And we were talking, and I just started to share my heart a little bit for this. And I started to weep and talk about it. And Wyatt started to just take notes on everything that we were talking about, and I was just trying to flood it out, and that started. We didn't even know what this looked like. We didn't know if we wanted to, like, we weren't even thinking book. At first, we were thinking maybe a little children's thing or something. I don't know. It was just this thought that I just felt compelled to want to share, and then all of a sudden, a lot of illustrations later, and now it's a book that I'm so excited about, that I've cried so many times over this book, and we have prayed so many times over this book. And I really hope and pray it's a perspective giver. We would see the love of Jesus through a different lens, and maybe it would be the lens of the cross. And I just thought, man, if the rocks would be so quick to cry out, how much more so would the cross? And in one of the thoughts that I've had in around this book was, you know, if the tree and Jesus were having a conversation, and after everything the tree experienced with Jesus, if the tree were to see all of these people that are, some are yelling at him, some are mocking him, some are throwing things, some are leaving, some, you know, some would probably, a few might be praising him. I just can imagine that the tree's like, hey, Jesus, if you just gave me a voice, I would tell them all just for a little bit. Would you give me a voice? Would you just give me the chance? And Jesus is like, no, that's their job. Your job was to hold me high. You did your job and you did it well. And, you know, I just think the symbol of the cross is something we can never forget, because what was once an instrument of shame for flat out torture is now a symbol of hope because of what Jesus does. That he can take something that was one of the worst instruments in all of history for shame and for guilt and for torture and for torment, and now that is used all around the world as a symbol of hope, honor, and reverence. If we just look at the cross, that's only something that our God can do. And it just blows me away when we really think about this. And You know, one of the examples that we give is we kind of give the life of the cross. Of this cross probably had hopes and dreams of maybe I could be a door, a table, or a chair. Maybe one day I could be a throne, you know? And he didn't realize that, you know, probably in disappointment that he's being, you know, torn and beaten into a cross, but he didn't realize all of those dreams were actually being manifested in a different way. He was a throne for the King of Kings, and he was a doorway to heaven. And it's just, it's surreal to think about the picture of the cross and the picture of the gospel. And I just never want it to get old to me. And all of my heroes that have been Christians for a long time, the cross never gets old to them. And that's one of my favorite things about them. And I just don't ever want the love of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, the changing of time, the curtain was torn, the earth shook, everything changed at that moment. If the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus is true, everything about everything about everything is different. It's the only thing that changes everything. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then what's it all for? If he rose from the dead, then everything needs to stop and praise him, because it is everything. And this is just a different perspective to try to encourage and challenge all of us to not let the cross become old to us. And maybe we would see it from a different perspective and from the perspective of the cross.
Tim, obviously a lot of your life is spent behind a mic in the bright lights, and you have a unique platform. But I know this, that everybody has a platform of their own. Speak to the person who maybe isn't the news broadcaster, the football analyst, but still has a platform to speak for the gospel.
Yeah, I think that everybody has an opportunity because there's somebody that is watching and listening, and every platform is different. Some might have more eyeballs, some have less, but the question is, will we be faithful in those situations to try to steward it as best we can? And I just think that so many times in our economy, we say, oh, that person with more followers there is more valuable or could do more for the kingdom. And I'm just reminded of the parable of the talents that, you know what? Their reward was the exact same. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Well done, good and faithful. And I think that our goal should just try to strive to be imperfectly faithful as much as we can in that. But I also believe that God has different people in our life that he has put in our path for us to care and love on and share the good news with.
We were created on purpose for a purpose. Let us continue to live a missional life. Let us look again to see people a little bit differently. And I hope and pray that everybody will go and pick up a copy of your newest book coming out again Tuesday, February 24th, If the Tree Could Speak. It's impactful. It'll change your life. It'll change the lives of those that you love. Tim, where can our audience go to find out a little bit more about you, my friend?
I don't know. I guess they can go
anywhere.
To our website or I don't know. It doesn't matter. You don't need to learn more about me. Go study Jesus. I'll let you down. He won't.
I love that, Tim. Tim, thank you again for all that you do, for all that you stand for the way that you live. Us Clintons, we have a lot of love for the Tebows. Please give my best to Demi and to Daphne. I love and appreciate you, my friend.
Appreciate you, brother. So grateful for you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, Battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ehlers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.